Today's scripture reading is from the book of Psalms, number 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
To all making our music possible this morning, thank you so much. Harmony and Aaron, and also Steve and Jennifer, what wonderful cantors. Thank you so much for that. And Mark, of course, our music director. So much work goes in to these simple stanzas of canting. And of course, this style of music is harder than it looks on the surface, isn't it? But very good. Will you all pray with me? And if you're one of the kids and you have one of your prayer rocks, hold on to it with me as well as we pray. May our meditation on the idea of sacred community together, the words of my mouth, the silences we share, the music we sing, and our time together today help us to live in unity and compassion with all of your people. Amen. How very good, and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew on Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. A meditation is different from a sermon in much the same way as today's psalm is different from many of our other lectionary readings of Scripture. It is shorter and more focused. It is a goal-oriented sermon, if you will. Rather than being long and windy and narrative, a meditation has the simple goal of helping us to unfold a small idea, a kernel of Scripture, an image, if you will. It's like a small painting, perhaps. Today, I want us to meditate for a moment on this one sentence and to think about how it might empower our lives and our living. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. I want to tell you the story of one place on earth that has striven to turn Psalm 133 from biblical poetry into lived reality. Can any of you guess, based on today's service, where that place might be? Tizay, wonderful, good. It's a place of living biblical poetry. In the wake of one of the darkest periods of human history, the Second World War, a monk by the name of Brother Raja returned to a small village in rural France, and he began there what I call an experiment in grace. It was the exact same village where years before he and his sister had moved during the war. And their goal of moving to this small village was to become part of the resistance, the resistance to the Nazi and Vichy regimes. And their home became a resting place, a refuge for the refugees escaping for safety. At some point during the war, they were found out as being part of the resistance and helping to shelter those escaping. And so Roger and his sister had to flee back to Switzerland for the duration of World War II. But when the war was over and he could go back to the small village called Tizay, he did so. But this time with a very different and more global purpose. He went to this small, rural, hilltop village surrounded by more cows than people to found the Tizay community. It's a place that I call a grand experiment in living grace. Brother Roger was raised in the Protestant tradition in Switzerland, but he had discovered his true faith in a word called ecumenism. Easy to say, hard to live. a word that is living out the idea that it is good and pleasant and right when kindred live together in unity. He once said during one of his meetings with the Pope, or he's reported to have said, I should say, that I have found my own identity as a Christian by reconciling myself with the origins of my faith and the mystery of the Catholic faith without breaking fellowship with anyone. It's interesting that we had a baptism this morning. A couple of years ago, the UCC, the Catholic Church, all of the churches of the world voted on the one ecumenical agreement that we all could agree on, mutual recognition of baptism. Many decades in the making, this is why when we do our Trinitarian formula, we still do Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have to do that to have it be recognized ecumenically, but we can add to it one God, Mother of us all. That was the ecumenical agreement in Geneva. Brother Roger's vision started small with nothing more than a rural French farmhouse in an extremely isolated part of the country. Believe me, the only thing within reasonable walking distance of that farm is another ranch down the road that sells cheese and bread to pilgrims. This small vision for a place of meditation and welcome, of poverty and music and hard work, started on the smallest of scales, but it's grown into something that has changed the face and the sound of Christianity the world over. On Easter Sunday of 1949, Roger and nine other monks, not thinking they were doing anything that would grow much beyond them, committed themselves to vows of mercy, hard work, ecumenism, simplicity. Now, today, over 100,000 people, mostly young adults and youth, under the age of 30, make their way to this tiny village in the south of France every year. They sing simple, joyful, corporate, deep, amazing a cappella songs, work hard. When I was there, I was assigned toilet cleaning duty. And engage in meaningful biblical study and conversation with the monks and with each other in what seems like hundreds of languages and traditions. Today we're singing the songs only in English, but if you're at Tizay, it is sort of rare to have a song sung in the same language more than once or twice in the same day. There are that many languages in the world. I was once one of those pilgrims, as I've alluded to. I took my spring break from my year at university in the other side of France. To the French, this would kind of like going from San Francisco to New York, but to us, it's like, you know, going to Grand Island, Nebraska in distance. But to them, it was quite shocking that I would do this. All in one day, no less. And I took the train from Nantes to Paris and then down to Mâcon Village and then a bus that seemed like it went forever until I arrived in the middle of a drenching March rainstorm outside an enormous church, a huge church. And the door was ajar as they kind of leave it open, and I could hear through the rain the singing of the chants and see, kind of reflecting on the door, the flickering of the candlelight. Once I was in, I was immediately surrounded by a sense of peace and welcome. This place seemed to whisper to you, "This is your place. This is a place where all kindred live together, even if only for a week at a time, in unity." Oh, friends, how good that is. I hope and pray that your first visit here to Plymouth had a little bit of that whisper, and then it still does every Sunday you come in. It is like God today, through the tradition of the lectionary, knew exactly what we needed on this second Sunday in Easter. Even as it is now Eastertide, I have to admit, with the news around the world, our own community, what went around CSU this past week, it still feels a whole lot like Lent. Anyone else feel like it's Lent living? A time in need of prayer and reflection and help. We need this reminder in Scripture and a collective song that the world can improve, that a place of life with harmony is in fact possible, and more than that, it's promised. We too are being called to big experiments of radical grace and mercy in our own time and in our own places, a time that looks so cruel, so dark, so foreboding. This vision of a world where all live in unity and peace should inspire us. Yeah, I believe our pessimism has gone from simple household cold to maybe epidemic level. Have you guys felt that pessimism creeping up? Today, as we continue our Eastertide journey of hope and resurrection, of living with Christ in that resurrection, in the promise of baptism, let the story of this small Tazay community, its music, its legacy of hope, let it get into your skin a little bit. Let it get into who you are. May the vision of a place where all God's people gather in peace and unity, may that catch on with us to create spaces in our own congregation, in our own homes, in our own access to community where that is possible. Brother Roger's story ends abruptly in 2005 when a member of the wider community experiencing mental illness stabbed him to death in his pew. The community responded not with dread or giving up, but with a resounding affirmation of ecumenism. His funeral was a huge celebration of the vision of Tazay, with the leaders of nearly every global tradition represented and worshiping together, despite or maybe because of their difference. We need this reminder both in scripture and in collective songs, together that a better world where hope and harmony exist is possible, even if it's only in a faraway farm village in southern France. If we believe in the promises of God, I know it's possible because I've seen it. Not in a dream, but next to cows in a pasture. And this time, I'm not talking about Iowa, for those of you who know my propensity to do that. Picture yourselves deep in the countryside, in the smallest of all imaginable villages. Farms, barns, cows, lots of sheep, and all of the smells thereby associated. Picture yourself on that hill in the French countryside, an old church filled with candlelight. Picture a tall gate with bells on top. This is where God's dream is possible. Now picture, if you will, and I know you all can do this, your own home. Maybe your favorite chair, the bookshelf that you need to dust off if you want. Remember, we're donating books? Okay. What are you doing at Plymouth this morning? Or in your own life that, just like Brother Roger turning his home in the French countryside into a place of unity, that we're turning our own homes into places of unity. Is the outpost of God's realm only in the pew? Or is it also wherever you make home that you bring that with you? You don't have to be a French monk to living in a remote hillside to live a life of Tazay. You simply have to be ready to experiment with mercy, to take risks with grace. This is where God's dream is possible. Before leaving you, I want to mention one other thing about Tazay music. I'm so glad that Plymouth has chosen Easter to do a Tazay service. Many churches think contemplative or meditative, and which two seasons do you think they put the Tazay services in? Lent and Advent. Why? Because they're somber and they're penitential and they're a little bit sad. No, Tazay is about joy. I'm about to age out of today's demographic. I'm turning 30 in June. And then I will not be able to go to Tazay at that point without being a chaperone. It's okay. I'm affirming this with the beard, you see. What I'm trying to say, though, is when you hear this music, we don't have to sing it in a Lenten spirit. Today's music, the meditative, the letting go of your bulletin. Actually, rip your bulletin up if you'd like. You don't need it for the rest of the service. I'm joking. But, you know, it's freedom. It's freedom of faith and that freedom to experiment with mercy and grace. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. Amen.